Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast that are legends of tomorrow and today. Today we are going to go down a huge amount of comic book stuff. We have a huge amount of superhero stuff in store, from TV shows, news, comic books. It's just the world of superheroes, and we're just here participating. But before we get to all that stuff, how's the week been going for you guys?
Snowy,
yeah.
I don't know.
A little behind the scenes here, we are recording this legitimately the same night as our last record, so still have 30 inches of snow on the ground, and I'm guessing when this finally comes out, we'll still have a lot of that left over here down in Baltimore. It's kind of crazy right now with snow and falling everywhere as far as the sky can see.
Well, the good news is at least all the potholes are filled in.
Yeah. And luckily, I got all my eggs and bread. Because that's hugely important. It's fun.
Yes, everybody needs to make French toast whenever it snows a lot.
I was going to say that. It's like a big conspiracy every time it snows.
Yeah, it's like we're going to be stuck in our house. Let's get milk and eggs and bread, two things of which tend to not last very long. I don't mean it's just insane.
Well, when all you people run out of, you know, bread and milk, come over to my house, because I was the guy that bought up all the wine and cheese. So.
That's the key. It was insane. I was coming home the night before it was snowing on Friday, and I was coming home on Thursday night really late. It was like 9:30 at night, and I drove by a grocery store, and the parking lot was full still. There was not an open spot.
Can't resist that French toast.
You can't, you know, you can't. But then it's like you get home and you realize you need that one thing. It's like, how much do I really need this compared to going out and dealing with all this stuff? So gotta do that math. But it's been kind of crazy. Greg, how are things going with you?
I am good. I am just chilling, drinking a hard orange soda.
Hard orange soda. That sounds delicious.
Yes, it is delicious.
I had some,
to be quite honest.
I just had some hot orange juice, some hard root beer. It tastes just like root beer, but it was actually alcoholic. Very dangerous.
Yes, Coney Island, not my father's root beer. Which one?
I don't know.
Heard something different?
I think it was Coney Island.
No?
Coney Island, yeah.
Coney Island is pretty good, yeah. They also apparently have a hard cream soda.
Nice.
Yeah, combine that with the orange, and you have a Dreamsicle hard soda.
Man, so would that then... With the dream, hard dream? Is that what they should call that? I don't know.
let's combine
it's a wet dream.
Yeah. Let's combine my childhood memories with a drunken rage.
Best way to go. But yeah, we have a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to comic book. A lot of news has dropped. A lot of TV shows are coming out. But before we get into the new stuff, Chuck, why don't you start? Because I know you actually read some other classic comic book stuff when it comes to Batman.
I did. This was actually from a pretty popular graphic novel called Batman Haunted Night. It's
I see what they did there.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah.
I wonder how many Batman stories have the word night in the title. What's the over-under on that, you think? Like 30%?
Oh, it's got to be...
40%?
I was gonna say at least like 40 books, probably.
Yeah.
It's just an overused pun, but it works, you know, it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a series of three stories written by Jeff Loeb and drawn by Tim Sale. And I'm going to say, I never was a huge Tim Sale fan, like with his art and stuff, but it's kind of growing on me. Like I'm kind of getting a little more fascinated by it. It's really not bad at all. It's pretty cool. The one story I wanted to just kind of brush over was the first one in the book. It's called Fear, and it has to do with Scarecrow. And what these stories are, like, it's just it's a few different Halloween-centered stories. So I probably should have, like, read this back in October, but, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas just come so quick, so I didn't really get a chance to. But the first story has to do with the Scarecrow. He's one of my favorite Batman villains. This story kind of deals with the Scarecrow taking out these electrical power stations all over Gotham, and Batman's, like, super tired, he hasn't slept in days, sort of similar to leading into the situation where he fought Bane, where he's just so exhausted from doing everything, and he's sort of not only vulnerable physically, but sort of mentally. The great thing about this story is, like, not to give anything away, but I'm sure most everyone's probably read this story already, but he sort of kind of struggles with this little lapse that he has, like, physically and mentally, because there's this woman that comes to his party, and her name is Jillian, and he's kind of, like, fascinated by her, and he's so tired and fatigued and focused on the Scarecrow that he totally misses that this lady is, like, a scam artist, and she sort of she has a history of sort of going after guys for their money and stuff like that. And you see Batman, like, sort of get very upset with himself because he wasn't on top of this. He didn't figure that out. He's like, you know, I'm the world's greatest detective, and I didn't even see this. It was, like, right in front of my face. And even physically, they show him trying to take down a thug on the street. And, like, even before he could dodge him or anything, the guy kind of cuts him across the chest. And it just, like, surprised him because he was so slow to react and stuff. And it's just a cool story because we're so used to seeing Batman, like, almost invincible, where he can handle any situation, and you see him very humanized in this story, where he's susceptible to that fatigue and to those sort of lapses that we all experience regularly on a day-to-day basis, but we realize that nobody's above that, and, you know, you can't be perfect from day to day in your life. So just a really fascinating story that I wanted to share, and if you've never read it, I would check it out. It's pretty cool.
I do find that's interesting because people always get on Superman for being, like, invincible and not being able, like, can't feel pain, yet, like, it gets to the point where Batman's almost the same level, just without superpowers, where he
right.
he's like,
yeah. Overcomes impossible odds in every story.
Yeah, yeah. But that's cool. That's very cool. I've not read that myself, but there's a lot of classic Batman stories I need to catch up with.
And it was cool because after that, I actually got to, I was watching my Batman animated series, season one, and I got to watch a Scarecrow episode on that. I think it's called Nothing to Fear. So I got a little double dose of Scarecrow that night. That was pretty exciting.
I feel like the Scarecrow episodes were some of the best of that series.
Oh, yeah. Little good old Jonathan Crane, obsessed with fear.
Yeah, it's crazy considering, like, that was a kid's cartoon and some of the stuff that they would do with him. And
it was weird because that episode, it came right after the Christmas with the Joker episode.
Yeah.
Which was, like, super corny and, like, childish and, like, goofy and all that stuff. And then you had, like, the Scarecrow episode right after it with, like, a little bit more adult themes, like, sort of dealing with psychological stuff and this guy going nuts and everything. It was, like, really, really big contrast there between the episodes, but that was funny.
Very cool. Very cool. I did also want to talk about a comic. It's a little bit more recent. It just came out in November, but it's on its third issue, and it's by, you know, a well-known name. We talked about him. We brought him up at least last week when we talked about our top five comic book writers, and I think I might even mention this, but it's Mark Miller's most recent book, Huck. Greg, I don't know if you've read it at all. I know you read Chrononauts last year.
No, I did not read Huck. Did not know what it was about. Didn't new stuff like that. I kind of judge it off of the cover. I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but I kind of do.
Yeah, I could say its covers aren't necessarily anything special. The story, it's weird because it does not feel like a Mark Miller story at all. You know, he tends to be crass. He has a sense of humor that you see a lot, and this feels almost like a wholesome story from him. It's like, I'm actually kind of impressed what he's doing here, but the premise of it is this guy named Huck. He is a guy who's
has a special gifts, and they're not so far super well defined. Certainly has like strength, and he can not necessarily fly. Instead of flying, he actually like jumps on top of cars and things like that to get around. He's really good at finding things, but the thing is,
I will find you.
He will find you.
he'd like to find.
And it. I think Chuck, you actually might really like this. At least so far, the premise of the character is that he was an orphan that was like dropped off, I think, at the church. And this town kind of raised him. He has these powers, but he's not...
Takes a village.
Yes, exactly. He's not completely there mentally. He's not necessarily, you know, he's a little, they say, like, he's a little slow. He works at the local gas station. He has overalls, and he's really an unassuming guy, but he just does all these great deeds for people. He grew up with the motto that you should do a good deed every day, and that's what he does, but... The town keeps his power secret. Like, they don't let other people know because to thank him for everything he does, that's what they try to let him live in peace. But then someone new comes to the town and his secret kind of gets revealed. And that's where the book is right now in the third issue. But I really like the character of Huck. And he doesn't say much. He kind of just does these things. But it's such a really good feeling. It's much different than anything that's really on the shelves right now. It's a straightforward story. It's starting to kind of evolve. You're finding out a little bit more. Some characters from the past are starting to come up in the most recent issues. But I just love the premise, and the art is great by Raphael Albuquerque.
Albuquerque,
yeah.
Fantastic. He does do good stuff.
So it's only three issues in, so I don't know. You know, it may end up ending poorly, but I'm actually quite impressed with it. It seems like Mark Miller is trying to, you know, show that he can do different things, and I think he's proving it with this series. So, but I started this episode saying there's a lot of crazy comic book stuff that recently came out, you know, from DC, Marvel, and I know one of the biggest things that debuted was Peggy Carter. The second season of Peggy Carter started, and Greg, you saw the first episode, and Chuck, I think you did a little bit too. I'm curious. I did not, because I'm still not fully caught up with the first season. But what did you think of the return of Peggy Carter? Did it live up to what you enjoyed last season?
Peggy's in a new place at this point. She's no longer she was in New York for a little bit, but she has come to LA. And so there's quite a bit of setup trying to get her over to LA and everything, which I thought was fun, kind of rediscovering the character after last year and everything. And we kind of catch up with her catching that woman fatale. I forget her name. Do you remember what her name is, Chuck? Is it like Dottie or something?
Yeah, it's Dottie something, but
Dottie Henson from League of Their Own.
She was kind of brought up like in the Red Room, like the Black Widow sort of, right?
Yes, 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 yes. So we kind of catch up with her, and so there's a lot leading into that. But it's mostly getting back to knowing our characters and everything. Catch back up with Jarvis, and that's a lot of fun. We see where, what's his name is, the handicapped dude. I am terrible at names.
It's right on the tip of my tongue, too.
Chad, yeah, he was in Dollhouse. We do a little bit with him. There was an interesting little part with him and Red from that 70s show. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on, a lot of catching up with everybody. It's kind of started off a little slow, if you ask me, but I think they'll pick it up. They're just trying to set everything up. But it was still quite fun.
That's his name.
Yeah, Sousa, yeah. But we also have something in there from, I think it was in Shields, we had this element come in, and now we're seeing kind of where it came from and everything, which is kind of interesting, I thought. But I'd like to hear what Chuck thought, because I'm running out of stuff to say.
I only have a few words to say. Jarvis doing judo was spectacular in the wrestling singlet. That was amazing.
And his wife is pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, she is. She's really cool, actually, because they did this funny thing with, like, this doesn't really give anything away to you, Dan, but there was this, like, awkward moment with Peggy Carter and Jarvis where they were kind of, like, close to each other, and his wife walks in, and for anyone else, it would have been super awkward, but she, like, you know, she totally trusts her husband, and she knows he's not doing anything, so she just goes about talking about whatever she was gonna, and it was just funny, because at least I was expecting one thing, and it totally went the other way, and I was like, oh, she's really cool. But
yeah, I was expecting it too, Chuck.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm like, uh-oh, this is not good. Like, just the way they ended up. And then I'm like, she's going to walk in. She walks in. I'm like, oh, crap. And then it was, like, not what I expected at all. It was pretty cool. But I love Hayley Atwell. She's awesome. She does a great job in this show. And I really like how she switches between the accents, the American and the British accents. That's awesome. It's, like, flawless. I don't know. Yeah, I'm liking it so far. I thought it was really good. Like you said, with this element thing, that was pretty interesting. They take her in a different place emotionally. That was kind of interesting to see, sort of for the first time since Captain America. So, yeah, good stuff.
I thought the first season of Peggy Carter would come up Netflix, but it hasn't yet, which made me sad. So, I don't know.
Come on, Netflix!
I know, get on that.
I've been waiting for a DVD. I don't know why. Did they come out with a DVD?
I don't know. I've not been looking, so I couldn't tell.
Or Blu-ray, whatever.
I wouldn't think so. Maybe it hasn't come out. Usually it comes out a little bit before the new season's coming out, but I haven't heard.
Yeah.
Another superhero show that you guys didn't catch up with, but somehow I did. I'm amazed that I watched this, and Chuck, you didn't. That's, at least as of now, that's I'm surprised. But it helps when I'm snowed in. I got nothing else to do, nowhere else to go. So
that whole hell freezing over thing, it's happening down there by you. So it's
true.
That's why.
Man,
I thought my feet were getting a little cold.
Yeah, yeah. The catalyst. But the Legends of Tomorrow today, that, which I can't help say every time I say that title, but that came out this, by the time this was recording, it's probably been a few episodes, but we've only been able to watch the first episode. And since you guys have not seen it, I will not give spoilers out. But overall, I will say I liked it. I think it has potential. There are some things I wasn't the biggest fan of. Without getting anything away, I was the finale of the episode. Really, there's like a character shows up and ends up being like the main villain. And I thought that was the weakest element of the show so far, in the sense of it didn't really make sense of why he was such this huge threat when you have all these other characters. The one character I'm still not sure on is the new Firestorm. I can't think of his new name, but there's something.
Don't give it away. I'm still catching up on Flash.
Okay. Well, that doesn't really give anything away, to be honest with you. So I find that like every line of his dialogue is him explaining like who he is and his background. He's like, you know, I'm just a mechanic, or I used to be a football player. Like every line of dialogue is just him explaining what his upbringing is. It's like he has to bring that up every time, which I find a little bit tiresome. But overall, it's a fun show. I really like the premise, and what I really found interesting is that there is a twist in it. I'll say that, if that does give anything away, at least near the end. And I really like that twist. It's hard to explain why, but it, every time when you deal with like a time travel story, you're wondering like, okay, how are they going to get around this? Like, doesn't this already tell us a thing or two about what's going to happen? But I don't know. I like the idea of why these characters are doing what they're doing at the end. I found that to be much more of a interesting way of doing it than the classic just, oh, we're doing it for fun. I don't know. It's hard to try to be cryptic as possible. I'll just say I really like that twist. The one thing that seems kind of interesting is that the Rip Torn, or not, I forget the guy's name, Rip Hunter. Yeah. With Rip Hunter, it does feel like they are heavily that character has been heavily influenced by Doctor Who. They keep referring to him as a Time Master. You know, he's British. He has a lot of his behavior.
Is that the lead character kind of that I saw in the commercials?
Yeah.
Because he was a companion on Doctor
Really?
Who.
Really? That's interesting.
It
does seem like, in a way, in the way he behaves and acts, it almost does seem influenced from Doctor Who. But I have some faith in this. I do like the team dynamic, all these different characters. I'm really curious to see how they go together. And I gotta say, the guy who plays Captain Cold, he gets that character. I feel like he's having so much fun in that role, and it comes through. There's just like this.
It's the guy from Prison Break.
Yeah, right? Both of him and his brother. I don't know. Yeah, like they could just have a show with those two, and it would be good. They're dynamic. They really, I think, understand their characters and play with and work within the framework really well. It's a lot of fun. Their performances are some of the best parts of the show. So,
Yeah, even you know, Dominic Purcell plays Heatwave. I love him too as an actor. He's awesome.
He's probably the funniest part of the show. Just some of his lines and
he's. I did see the one clip where they're like, they're like back in the 70s or whatever, and they're having a huge barroom brawl, and he's like, "I love the 70s."
it's a lot of fun. So, it wasn't a perfect first episode. There were some hiccups here and there, but it does make me excited for what's to come. So, and it did like the best ratings ever for a Thursday for the WB, so or CW. So they're just gonna make all the comic book shows. They're just keep hitting them out of the park. So,
yeah. How was Dr. Martin Stein, the older guy? Is he in there a lot or just a little bit? Or
he's in there quite a bit. He's I think a big part of this the first episode.
So, because I actually like his character a lot. Like he's, you know, he's not really one of the heroes because he kind of merges to make Firestorm, but I actually like him a lot. I think he brings a lot to the show with his supporting role. I think he's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He's in it quite a bit. So I'm a little hesitant on, I don't want to say it. So, because you're still in the first season of Flash, so I don't want to give that away.
I will remove my headphones. No, you're good. It's not important,
so I won't bring it up.
Say it now.
I don't even remember what I was going to say.
Say it.
I'm back.
All right.
You lost your time, Dan. I'm sorry. Yeah. Time is up.
Yeah, and then he died. So yeah, I don't know. all right, but
and then Kylo Ren killed Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Within that though, there was some news that came over that I would like to hear you guys' thoughts. News trailers and a big trailer that came out recently within the recording time is the new trailer for Suicide Squad. Interested in hearing what you guys
love thought. The music. Who was that by?
I believe it was referred to a band as Queen, if I'm not mistaken.
Queen, like of England?
Of the Stone Age.
No, like Latifah.
Oh, I love Queens of the Stone Age.
Queen Latifah of the Stone Age. Yeah, that's the
right. Exactly.
You like the music. What did you think of the actual trailer? Are you any more on board, less on board?
I think I'm about even on board. A lot more Margot Robbie in there, and I think she's the one that's really going to make the movie for me. Still hate the tattoo thing that they got going on with Harley Quinn and Joker. I just kind of edit that out in my mind, at least try to. But it looked pretty good. Definitely favorite part is when she breaks the window and bends over to pick up the purse. I definitely viewed that part a couple of times over and over and over and over again.
Just a little bit.
But she's kind of creepy in that character anyway, so it kind of works out. It cancels each other out, exactly. Dan, so I'm totally cool.
So did the voices in your head also tell you to say that?
No. But they should have told her not to say, "We're bad guys. It's what we do," because that felt a little strange and weird. Yeah,
you and I were talking before about that. You brought up an interesting point because that really turned me off, like some of her dialogue. But you, like you were saying, you think it's more of the lines they gave her rather than her acting, like, because she did seem pretty good in other parts of the trailer. But
yeah, and there was a bit of narration in there where, like, it's Deadshot. He's a guy that can shoot. We got a crocodile, man. I'm like, oh, this is totally getting me excited for the movie. This flat, monotone guy, like, not giving a shit. It's like, come on.
The waiter at Applebee's last night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that guy was awful.
Chuck, what did you think of the trailer?
Honestly, I like the first trailer better. I don't know. I feel like this kind of has gotten me just a tad bit worried. Not much, but... I still think it's going to be good, but probably the character I'm most excited to see is Will Smith's Deadshot. I'm interested to see how he does that. But
yeah, I was actually surprised. I wasn't not looking forward to that all that much, but after the trailer, I'm like, wow, I think he might do well with this character. So
yeah, I'm not sure where he's going to go with the character, because it looks like, you know, it looks like he's kind of deeply troubled and all that stuff. Where like everyone else is, but they're all kind of like wacky, and he's kind of like just dealing with it silently, it looks like. So that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I'm not excited for the Joker at all. Like, I'm hoping I'll be pleasantly surprised, which usually is the case when you have a you know, certain expectations for a comic book movie. Usually it ends up being good anyway, but I'm hoping that I'm pleasantly surprised with that. So,
see, I guess I'm going to end with you guys. I ended up really liking this trailer, and it has me much more excited than I was originally. It might actually be the one I'm the most excited about currently, besides maybe Doctor Strange, though Deadpool's up there too. I don't know, something about it.
See, Deadpool's got my top spot. Yeah.
It just, I heard people compare using Bohemian Rhapsody to what Guardians of the Galaxy did, and like, yeah, it is kind of like similar, but I think it's smart in that way. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense to do that because it is this ragtag group of random people, and I don't know, I just like the feeling of the trailer, like where it was going, the humor that was in it. I was unexpected, and I'm really looking forward to Jared Leto as the Joker and just all the randomness of it and all the different outfits. It feels like it's gonna be, I don't know, in a way not comic booky at all, but in a way very comic booky. It's I don't know, it's hard to kind of compare that. I do think the Killer Croc does look really bad still. That hasn't changed, but
we did get the shot of the Joker in the black and white tuxedo.
Yeah, cool. I did like all the different looks. There was that also the image of him like on the ground with all the guns or knives around him. I thought was kind of cool. So, and I like David Ayer as a director for the most part. He did Sabotage, which is one of the worst movies ever. But I liked Fury and I liked End of Watch a lot. So I don't know. I ended up really liking the trailer. I'm like, well, like that movie looks better than I expected. So we'll see. You know, there's still time. It could end up being awful. And at least that trailer didn't give away everything and not tell me, no, actually they don't commit suicide. That's nothing to do with it. Or I don't know. They don't.
They do in fact form a squad though.
They do. They do. Yeah.
It kind of gave that away. So I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah.
I thought they were all going to be acting independently. So yeah, I was very upset with that.
We'll see. We'll see. I know Batman was supposed to be in it, so I'm surprised they didn't show him more. Maybe he won't.
Yeah.
Maybe he won't be a huge part of it. So.
Yeah. When's the release date on this again? Is it like July, June?
It's July or August around that time. I'm
not, okay. Yeah.
So it's weird. We're getting all these. We have Deadpool in February, Batman versus Superman in March. Then we comes Civil War. Then we have X-Men Apocalypse, and this is gonna. There's a ton of comic book movies this year, so it's insane. And.
And a lot of them very early in the year, too, which is surprising.
Yeah. Within the same line, talking about DC movies, Greg, I don't think you saw this footage yet, but during the premiere of Legends of Tomorrow today, they also showed some footage for Wonder Woman. did you check that out at all, Chuck?
Yeah, I got to see that. That was pretty cool. I was kind of flipping back and forth, because I think there was two things on TV. I was trying to flip back and forth between Agent Carter and the DC special. Yeah. So that's why I was saying I got to see most of Agent Carter, but I was kind of like trying to flip back and forth. Like I couldn't choose which one I wanted to watch more.
Did any of you guys watch that Captain America special they had?
I did. It was not worth it. If you've seen any other comic book history kind of thing, you've kind of got the gist of what was going on.
Yeah, it felt like a special feature for DVD or something like that. It was a little bit.
Yeah.
I ended up deciding not to watch that. I chose to watch Flash instead, and I'm very happy that I did. So.
It was a very lukewarm, generic, by-the-books type of thing they did for kids.
That's what I figured. I'm like, I pretty much know everything about Captain America from like just reading and seeing all these different things. So like, I'm more excited for the for Flash coming back after the mid-season break.
Yeah,
so.
It was weird. It was like, you know, it felt like something meant for general audiences, but I'm like, why would general audiences really be interested in this to begin with? So I don't know. I felt they might have just had an hour to fill, so they were like, we'll throw this in there. So, but
yeah. But yeah, Wonder Woman footage was pretty cool. We got some interesting shots. They didn't show a whole lot, but I think enough to definitely pique your interest.
She would pique my interest.
Yeah, well, there you go. Imagine her and Harley Quinn in the same movie, Greg. You'll be.
Overload. <Yeah.
laughs> It looks good. I mean, that's not much to go on. It's legitimately just background footage. But Gal Gadot does look like she can hold her own as Wonder Woman. And interesting kind of the way they go.
She can hold my own.
Achoo! Man.
Hey, nope, you stole that off Tony Stark.
Yeah.
He says it's a roadie in Age of Ultron.
Do you have to cite your source on that? Is that how that works?
Yes, you missed.
Damn it, do I have to use Chicago style? Or MLA? Like,
I don't know.
Oh, I forget. I remember those two formats back
APA.
In high school.
APA. We used APA a lot,
I fucking get rid of that. Get one goddamn system.
No, right? Seriously. Oh, man. Some left up.
Or you could just buy your paper.
You could. You could also just do.
That was the one thing that I always got freaking caught on was I never cited right. It was freaking impossible.
Oh, I know. It's also the most idiotic thing ever, too. It's like all these. Why can't we just make this simpler? But the footage looked good. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I was hesitant on the DC stuff. I'm still hesitant on Batman versus Superman, but everything else looks like it has great. Great potential, but we didn't mention the Captain America special, and I did watch it. It was in the background. It was usually when my son's up, we tend to just throw something on TV like that we don't need to pay attention to, and that was the perfect thing because, like you said, it was a lot of the same information. But what was weird is when I was watching it, and suddenly a new image popped up. I'm like, wait, did they just announce what I think they announced? And I guess they did, where they announced that. Steve Rogers, for those that don't know, Steve Rogers currently in the Marvel Universe, he is not Captain America. Falcon has become Captain America because Steve Rogers' super soldier serum is no longer working. He's actually like an old man, looks like his age at this point in time. So he left that mantle and Falcon took it up. But based upon this information, it looks like that's going to be changing because, you know, it is Marvel and they do like to recycle and go back to the norm, and
they change things every 2 seconds.
And Steve Rogers is getting his superhuman soldier serum back and he's donning the mantle of Captain America again
with a really weird shield.
I was curious, Greg, what you thought about the new look of Captain America.
He looks bizarre. He does. I do not care for it at all. I really enjoyed when they went to that just like blue and white suit. I thought that was really nice, crisp and clean, kind of very simplistic, but really stunning kind of outfit. And this one just looks bizarre.
Yeah, it looks weird. It just, I don't know. It looks like a CFL uniform. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good description, actually.
NFL Europe.
it doesn't make sense. I don't know what you thought of the look, Chuck.
Actually, it was okay. I wasn't too crazy about it either. I would actually like to see them go back to something more like his costume design from the Ultimates, like a more tactical approach, kind of where he has the vest on, you know, he's got the gray tactical pants and everything. I would like to see something like that, a little bit more practical, you know, still have something red, white, and blue kind of showing through, but I would rather something like that, but it's okay. I do like the shield. I kind of like the idea of the shield because I was reading some interesting things about where they're going with that, and it kind of looks more like a little bit more like his original. It's basic triangle shape. It's got the curve a little bit, but the bottom comes to a point, and they said there's going to be actually an energy blade that can come out of the bottom of that shield, so he can use it to cut through different things and stuff like that. So they said that could give him an edge tactically. And also they said they're going to make it so that the shield can actually separate into two pieces and he can hold one in each arm. So they said it would create a lot of different maneuvers in hand-to-hand combat, a lot of things they could experiment with in the stories that they've never been able to before. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
He knows a lot of maneuvers, so interesting. I did not read it.
He's listing lazily to the left, you guys.
But what's also odd about that, though, is that it looks like Falcon's also staying Captain America. And I know there was a lot of talk of Falcon when he became Captain America for a variety of different reasons. How do you guys feel about this when it comes to Marvel doing this recycling of, you know, their character is this character and then they're going to, you know, Steve Rogers is dead and now he's back. Steve Rogers is old and now he's young. Does that at all kind of deter you when it comes to comics, knowing that it's just the inability to kind of stick with something and stay with it for, you know, more than a year or two?
it just makes things crazy to keep up with. Like, I have no idea what's going on in the Marvel Universe at this point because so many things are changing so fast, so furious, Seven. But it just makes it confusing for me. And then if I want to come in and read, and then I have to readjust to that, but that they're in a different kind of point in time in another comic book. It just, it's all confusion over there for me at Marvel. And so I've been kind of moving over towards DC a little bit because of that. I feel very sad for saying that, but yeah, it's just all kind of mass confusion for me personally when it comes to Marvel at this point, especially with them moving characters back and forth so quickly. Like, how did these people even have lives? Like, it's just...
It's funny you say that about DC, because I felt when I went to DC, I was reading some DC stuff, and I was also even more confused because... There's like a Batman book that Bruce Wayne is Batman, but in this other one he's not. That's still the old Batman. You know what I mean? Like, there's,
yeah,
it is kind of insane. Like, each book has its own thing going on. But Chuck, I know you don't read a lot of current stuff. Is things like this a big reason why that you have stopped reading a lot of the current Marvel stuff?
Yes, bingo. And you kind of said it before with like just the fact that they. Only when they change something, they only let it go for like a year and then they kind of change it back. So to me, it's like, if you're making that decision to change something, you know, if you want to kill Steve Rogers or if you want to make the Falcon Captain America, you're making that decision because you want to sort of make strides with that character. You want to explore something. So give yourself that opportunity and do it for like a few years, you know, and like, see where that takes you and come up with some interesting storylines and stuff. And it just feels like to me, like they just give up and like, well, let's just go back to how it was. And it's just really annoying that they do that stuff. And I don't know who's always responsible for doing these things. I don't know if it's one guy or if they all decide to do it, but just all that stuff changing is really is kind of what drove me away from the new stuff. Cause there was no consistency and, You try to get behind a character and his story arc and, okay, let's see where he's going now. And then it's just like they kind of scrap it and go back to something else. So I don't know.
Do you think in a way the movies are the blame? Because, you know, there's a Captain America movie coming out. So in the comics, Steve Rogers has to be Steve Rogers again. So we have to go back and change it. So is that just the world we live in where the movies are going to kind of be the rudder that kind of controls where the comics go?
I don't know. I don't get the feeling that is the reason, only because it seems to me like they've done a pretty good job so far of sort of handling how the comics and movies are interacting. Cause like a lot of them, in a lot of ways, they're feeding off each other, but it's in a lot of good ways. And I feel like they've made the effort to plan this out pretty far ahead, and for whatever reason, I don't see this being a part of the movie thing. I don't think it has any reason to do with that. Maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe it does, but I think it would have been great if they left Steve Rogers sort of as an older character, someone that Falcon could go to for advice. Like, man, how did you do this for all this time? Like, you know, what do you do in this situation? What do you do in that situation? Like, basically turn him into like a Yoda. Yeah. That he's like, you know, this old guy that's, his strength is failing him, but he has so much wisdom to pass on to someone else that's willing to learn it. And I think that would have been a great way to explore Captain America even more, like just kind of get in his head a little bit and go into that side of it instead of his physical nature. But, you know, it doesn't always work out like that.
And they were doing that for a long while. I felt like Steve Rogers was coming like the new Nick Fury in that realm, because they did change Nick Fury to look like the new Nick Fury from the Ultimate Universe, so that I still didn't understand how that happened, but he was that role, and he in the Avengers book where he's that role, and like he's a kind of cool dynamic with Deadpool going on, and then they're sticking away from it, and I honestly think it does happen a lot because of the movies, because Marvel has had that happen for a few reasons, like, you know, Fantastic Four has kind of gone by the wayside because Marvel's not making those stories anymore. You know, they put a lot of restrictions on the X-Men, and the X-Men books have, I think, suffered in a lot of ways. They just feel different, where they're moving away from mutants and focusing more on Inhumans, and that's been the focus. And the Ant-Man movie was coming out, so Scott Lang became back, though that book was, I think, a good example of it working, because I really like the new Ant-Man book. It's been quite good. It does have me hesitant. Like, I hate how this happens. It always happens. I mean, I hated when they killed Cap, but then I loved how they reacted to it, and I thought it really showed the importance. It ended up, I think, making Captain America even more of an important character, because you saw just how much his death impacted other people, and I love seeing Bucky become Cap in that story. And they stuck with that longer than this, but then they went away from that. And I think a good example of how this can work, if you look at something like Oracle, right, with DC, and making a character handicapped, and they kept that character that way for such a long time. And I know a lot of people are angry when they fix that, but I think, yeah, I would love to see Marvel stick with something more so than a year or two.
I love the Batgirl comics that they have now.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I think it's fine to change it eventually, but give it more than, I don't know, was it 2 years, if that? I
don't know on the timeline.
It's within when we first started this podcast, which about 2 years ago, which is kind of crazy. But
I feel like they could have made it into something very similar to Batman Beyond, kind of like where you have like an elderly Bruce Wayne, and like it's, you know, it might be like sort of an Elseworlds story or a what if story, but they could have made it very much like that.
And it's not like you can't do like a spin-off comic or like a special edition comic just for that time period. That they have like Captain America White right now, which is, that's obviously not within continuity, it's its own thing. And they have the Marvel Knights line, they have Marvel Max line, that where they can use that. But I don't know, it seems
it's a very racist comic.
it is. Well, it's actually about the Blizzard. That's what it's,
the Blizzard we're currently having.
No, yeah, it was a bad joke. Yeah, just going for something and did not work. But all right, I think that'll bring us near the end of today's episode. I don't know if there's anything else you guys wanted to bring up at all.
I really like the Deadpool trailer. Oh, yeah, the Deadpool, it was really good.
So yeah, the second Deadpool trailer. You're a fan, Greg?
Yes, very much so. I wish they would stick with the Rosie, less angry Rosie O'Donnell. I wish they would stick with that joke. Didn't care for the Jose Canseco joke as much. I'm not sure if many of the nerds are going to understand that. I feel bad for Chuck because Colossus is once again getting his ass kicked, it looked like.
I was so mad about that. I'm like, yeah, they're finally doing Colossus right. Like, he's huge, he's beefy. They even gave him a line in the trailer, and he sounds awesome. Yeah. And then he gets clobbered, and I'm like, what the beep? Like, but I'm hoping they do him the right way in the movie, and it's, you know, that's just kind of a comedic moment there. But
yeah, I think it is. I showed it to my brother. My brother likes Iron Man, and that's pretty much his go-to. And he likes the comic book movies, but he hasn't really read much in comics. But he's really looking forward to this movie. I just showed him the trailer, and he was laughing hysterically at it and really looking forward to it. And he's like, it's just a movie of one-liners, which is essentially true, but it looks really good. I really liked when the girl was playing on her after Colossus got his ass kicked. This is why we brought Colossus, is to kick your ass. And he goes, okay, well, this is why we brought her to beat you up. And then she's there over there on her phone telling him 1 second. He's like, you're really going to finish that tweet? You're really going to finish that tweet? And then she hits him. And then he's like, ooh, really feel bad for the guy that's gonna try and do prom sex with her.
Yeah, I'm sure there's gonna be plenty of opportunities for Colossus to kind of show off a little bit, because I feel like they're making a heavy effort to do him right this time, just like they are for Deadpool. So, and what I thought was cool about it was how Deadpool actually mentions the X-Men in it.
Yes.
Did you guys catch that? Because he's like, yes, telling Colossus, he's like, listen, I don't have time for any of your X-Men crap. You know, like goody two-shoe stuff. And it was pretty hilarious, too, he's like, he don't want to get anybody to get hurt. And the guy falls. He's like, that guy was here before I got here. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
You think it'll be financially successful? Because I wonder about that. I know it's like, he's got his audience, true for sure, but I just wonder how, like how much that appeals to like the non-comic book, non-Deadpool fan, if it's gonna.
The date that I went on, the girl wasn't very into comic books, but I was like, need to see this trailer. It looks fucking phenomenal. And she watched it and she goes, "That I'm wrong. I really need to go see that. That looks amazing." I showed it to my brother, who's, like I said, not the hugest comic book fan, but he's recently been coming into it. And he's really looking forward to that one as well. So I think if people see these trailers, I think they're going to be really interested in it, because the trailers are a great representation, I think.
Yeah.
I know I'm bringing a topographical map of Utah with me to the movie.
you look like the inside of other people's assholes.
Like an avocado. Well, that was from the first one, but I love those one-liners.
I'd be looking forward to just seeing the Blu-ray of just the additional scenes or the other outtakes.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a lot of them. So
I have an interesting question for you guys. Sure. It's something that I came across during the week. There was a story where there was a kid that was a young kid, and he was a Deadpool fan, and he had some
reading Deadpool.
I know he had some form of cancer, and he wanted to meet Deadpool. So Ryan Reynolds dressed up as Deadpool. He went to meet him, did the meet and greet thing, and it was a great time and everything. But it kind of stirred up a little debate among fans, and something that I was kind of thinking about too. And I'm like, I realize everyone's clamoring for an R-rated Deadpool movie, and that's essential for that character to tell the story right and everything. And that's fine. I have no problem with giving them that version, but I really think maybe they should make a PG-13 version as well. Or at least when they do, maybe the Blu-ray release or something, like do a different version of it for some of the younger fans. Do you guys think that's a viable option?
I mean, I don't know.
It'd be really nice to do. I wouldn't mind it either, because it's like you have the option, but I'm not sure, because money-wise with the studios and everything, if that would be...
The whole rating thing is kind of crazy when it comes to what caused it to be rated R, because they tend to rate language the harshest, which is weird to me. Like, violence is necessarily not that. I don't like the idea, to be honest with you, because I feel like a movie should be what it is. And I'm not one that thinks, like, just because something's rated R doesn't necessarily mean that should dictate who sees it. I think that you should, as if you're a parent, watch it and make that determination. Because I look at something like The Dark Knight, which is PG-13, but that, is questionably an R rating, because there's some brutal stuff in that. You don't see blood, but... Well, I look at it this way, that they do things like that because for movies they make edited versions, obviously, for television, where they do a lot of that stuff. They do make edited versions for what people watch on planes. But there's actually this movie called Clean Flix, which was a documentary about this... like video store like in Utah that actually did that exact thing, where they edited movies, R-rated movies, and made them and took out like questionable parts to make them more family appropriate. And it goes into like the question of that, like, is that, should you be able to do that for someone? If someone creates something, should you be able to kind of change what they did to make it fit your own personal feelings or standards? And I don't know. I understand the desire for it, but I guess I'm more so on the line of, like, I don't necessarily use the rating as a guide. I use the movie itself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily getting into, like, the deep stuff, like, of changing, like, the whole personality of the film or anything like that. I just mean, like, taking out some of the dirtier comments, yeah, and curse words and things like that, just kind of make it a more...
If it's simply, like, taking out the F word, then, yeah, that's fine. Because if that's, like, the thing that's making it rated R, then I think that says more about the rating system than anything. But it's like, you can say two F words, and that's it. And then once you hit the third, you're rated R, which is actually kind of, like, the guideline, which is crazy to me. But
yeah, but it was... I just found it funny that, like... I mean, I don't see anything wrong with doing something like that, because everyone that chooses to can still see their R-rated version. But like, people, there were people legitimately freaking out, like, you can't do that. You can't have but Deadpool like being PG-13. You ruin it. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what's wrong with like doing that for like a 10-year-old kid so that he can watch, you know, his favorite character or something? Like, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm sure there's some pretty bad comics out there, but probably most of them aren't going to be as bad as this movie as far as like language wise and innuendos and stuff. I'm not sure. Maybe it is, but
yeah, I guess my question is like, it's hard to say without knowing, you know, what is it that you're making it R? Like, what would you have to cut out? If is it something severe?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, is it
not having seen it yet? Yeah. It's tough to,
yeah. So, I mean, like, thinking of, I can't, like, The Punisher, for example, is the only other R-rated comic book movie I can think of. And I think there are just a couple scenes you could edit to that, making it PG-13, which wouldn't really impact it a great deal. Just there's some of the more violent torture sequences that you can maybe shorten or something like that. But they do it the other way, you know, the opposite realm all the time, right? Where, like, every DVD or Blu-ray ever releases the unrated version of it, so why, you know, maybe thinking about doing it.
Yeah. Right.
So, that's a good question. But there was a petition that was made to get, because there's petitions for everything now. I wish there was a petition to end online petitions, but to get it rated PG-13. So, because I look at something like Kick-Ass, which was rated R. Like, I don't know. I feel like making that PG-13 would make that a completely different movie. Just thinking of some of the things that they do, like shooting a young girl in the chest with a gun because she's bulletproof vest down. Good question, though. I'm sure that will spark a lot of debate.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a much better feel for it, like you said, after we watch it. And,
yeah, because,
you know, see if it really would alter some of the core principles of the movie. Or not.
I would feel like, yeah, like it's a Dark Knight. Like, there's some stuff in that. Like, I don't know if. Like, I would let a kid under 10, under 11 watch that, because there's some, like, brutal sequences in that, and, like, just the overall feeling of that movie, that it's not R.
Yeah, even...
It feels like it easily could have been.
Right, not even, like, specific moments, just the overall feel of it, like you said. It's like, you know, it would definitely have a kid wondering, like, this is a bad movie. Like, what's going on like
the,
here?
You know,
like...
the Joker with the guy with the phone in the stomach, and you know what I mean? Like, that.
Right,
that,
yeah. And just that music, like that score that's playing throughout, like Joker's moments when he's like at his most psychotic, hanging out the car window and stuff. Like, it's just
makes me wonder what Suicide Squad's going to be rated, because some of that stuff, it just seems like, yeah, that could easily be rated R, really, just with some of the content. But,
yeah. We're bad guys. Of course it's going to be rated R.
Gosh, please stop.
Oh, man.
I hope they didn't put that in like a third trailer. I'd just be like totally pissed.
Very nice, very nice. But anything else before we bring this episode to a close? Alrighty. Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts. You can get in contact with us with a number of ways. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You can also email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@loud.com. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
You can send me all my tweets at The Create Forge.
And you can send, I don't know,
stuff with that accent.
Yeah. All Greg's tweets are sent with a southern accent. So. And I am at New Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or a bad guy.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week.
Replay.
We got back.
Replay.
I think she'll be good, but I just, yeah, just don't give her.
Yeah, I think that was a written line, because otherwise she seems really great in the part. Like, not even like a big moment, but it was just like when she kind of blows that hair out of her face. I'm like, that's Harley Quinn right there. But that one scene where they're like in that pool of whatever that is coming out, that visually looked really cool. But where it's like all their makeup and stuff is just like floating there. Yeah.